Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We are coming very quickly to the conclusion of the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians. So quickly, let me remind us of where we are, where we have come from in this chapter. The first half of the chapter contains Paul's defense of his apostolic office and his apostolic rights. And financial support is the biggest part of the apostolic rights that he defends in this chapter. We assume because that must have been under attack. That wouldn't explain why he picks that out for defense. In the last part of the chapter, he's not defending his apostolic rights, but he's explaining his philosophy of ministry. You might say his apostolic philosophy. And in the course of that, he tells us that this is the way he views his work for the Lord. Number one, he talks about his purposeful volunteerism, and this does tie into the first part of the chapter, and what he tells us is that even though he has a right to receive financial support, and the church at Corinth has the responsibility to offer that to him, he also has the right to labor as a volunteer rather than as one who is supported financially, and he does that most of the time, and there's a purpose for it, which he explains, which I won't go back to now. The second section of this last half deals with Paul's purposeful flexibility, how Paul must be willing to alter his lifestyle according to the people that he's ministering to. So if he's with Jews, he's going to live like a Jew, with all of the additional laws and regulations and requirements and restrictions that that involves, that he doesn't have to do that as a New Covenant believer, but as one whose greatest goal is to reach people with the gospel of Christ, and he finds himself doing that at times among Jews, then his determination is to give up areas of Christian liberty in order to reach the people that he's trying to reach with the gospel, his purposeful flexibility. But then the last part of this section is Paul's purposeful self-discipline, and that's what we've been looking at for the last two or three broadcasts, and we'll continue and possibly conclude that section today. And so I thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, December 7th. And I thank you for considering the financial needs of the Beacon Broadcast. And as we are approaching the end of the year, perhaps the Lord would lead you to give a year-end gift for the support of the Beacon Broadcast. What a blessing and encouragement that would be. Well, in the course of Paul's explaining his purposeful self-discipline, he talks about exertion in verse 24. He's willing to exert himself strenuously in order to serve Christ. What Paul seems to be saying, he doesn't put it in quite these words, but what he seems to be saying is, look, I've got eternity to rest. In heaven, there's not going to be any painful exertion. That only belongs to this life. But in this life, a certain amount of painful exertion is necessary if you're going to excel. If you are committed to the prospect that what we do for Christ demands our best. He deserves excellence, not mediocrity, and that requires exertion. And so my philosophy of ministry is, as long as I have life and breath in this world, I'm going to keep exerting myself, pushing myself. And when the Lord takes me home, then that'll all be over. So exertion, verse 24. Reward, verse 25. He says, Christians ought to work harder for eternal rewards than people in this life are willing to work for temporal rewards, such as an athletic prize. Why wouldn't we? For an eternal reward that will never fade, that will never pass away, that will be with us forever. Paul says, I'm certainly willing to do that because I realize only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. And so I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win a decent reward. And then number three, focus. Verse 26, he tells us that in order to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to stay focused. We can't be distracted. It's not just enough to exert ourselves, but it's also necessary that we exert ourselves productively, that we keep our eyes on the goal, that we stay focused to the task at hand, not just running all over the place and accomplishing nothing, not just spinning our tires, not just full of zeal and energy, but no understanding and knowledge, and therefore not accomplishing anything. We've got to focus. And then finally, verse 27, discipline. Paul says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Christian service, according to the Apostle Paul, requires discipline. Do you understand that? Are you willing to do that? For Christ? For the one who gave his life for you? Furthermore, refusal to discipline yourself may lead to disqualification, to suffer loss. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so therefore, to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a disciplining of my time, of my priorities, of my diet, of my entertainment, and so forth. You say, oh, you've quit preaching and gone to meddling. Well, no, because this is what Paul is talking about. We need to discipline our time. We sure can waste a lot of time. I find myself doing that more often than I should, and I have to confess it to the Lord as sin. Forgive me, Father, for spending so much time doing this yesterday that was enjoyable, but it really wasn't that productive. I should have disciplined myself more and pulled myself away from that enjoyable activity and forced myself to spend more time doing the things that I most needed to do in the work of the ministry. We have to discipline our time, whatever that takes for you. Some people spend who knows how much time every day talking on their phone, which, of course, in some cases, there's a certain amount of that that is necessary, depending on who you are and what you do. But I'm not saying that cell phones are illegitimate, but you know what I'm talking about. Some people just spend nearly their whole day responding to texts, responding to calls, chit-chatting with people about this, chit-chatting with people about that, to the extent that they seldom get anything productive done. They, in a sense, they're doing something, they're looking busy, but they're not disciplining their time in order to actually accomplish something. We've got to discipline our time. We've got to discipline our priorities. We've got to discipline our entertainment, or it'll steal time away from us that ought to be used to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Be the most dedicated, hardest working Christian that you know. That ought to be your goal. I want to be the most dedicated, hard working Christian that I know. I may not be the most talented. I may not be the most personable. Those are things that I really can't help. But I can be the hardest working. That's within my power if I'm willing to do it, but it takes discipline. So, backing up and doing a quick review over what Paul has told us here about his philosophy of ministry, I think it boils down primarily to two areas. First of all, in the area of evangelistic strategies, being all things to all men, and secondly, in the area of living a disciplined life. And in the area of evangelistic strategies, I am all things to all men, that I might by all means win some. Paul is not talking about altering the gospel. That's what happens in some people who follow what they think is Paul's philosophy. But it's a waiving of personal rights and preferences in order to increase a hearing for the gospel. It's not a rationale for sinful language and conduct, but it's a willingness to forego Christian liberties and comforts for the sake of the gospel. It is a strategy to build better personal relationships. What will help me relate to this person in the most helpful way? For example, should I wear a tie or not wear a tie? Now, how do I answer that question? Is it a matter of personal preference? To some people, that's the only question. I don't like to wear ties, so I'm not going to wear a tie. And somebody else says, I think that somebody that is involved in the kind of work that I'm doing ought to wear a tie, so therefore I'm going to wear a tie. Well, the real question is, what will make me most effective in the work that I'm doing? There are some places and settings where, frankly, wearing a tie would be an obstacle. It would make it harder to reach the people you're trying to reach. So, even though you might prefer to wear one, you decide not to for the sake of the gospel. And there are other times when just the opposite may be true. Well, I don't have to wear a tie. Nobody can make me wear a tie. But if you're trying to minister to people for whom your failure to wear a tie could truly create a hindrance to the gospel, aren't you willing to do what you're uncomfortable with for the sake of reaching other people? And that's just a very minor illustration, but that illustrates the whole principle that Paul is talking about here. I'm willing to do what I don't prefer if that'll help me reach other people. I'm willing to do what I may not find particularly comfortable if it will help me reach other people. And then the area of disciplined Christianity. Our tendency is to want to be less committed, fewer demands, more convenience in our life. But the need, for Christ's sake, is greater commitment, take on greater demands, be willing to do without more conveniences, be willing to have less comfort for the sake of Christ. What we need are serious, robust, no-hold-barred Christians who are willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all that they have. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.